Number one, if you've seen this movie and the song Peaches doesn't hold a special place in your heart, then there's a special place in hell for you. Number two, this movie is mediocre at best. Slightly above average if you happen to be a Nintendo fan, let alone a Mario fan. Really, any, if you like or played any Nintendo game, then you got a kick out of this movie. And number three, Jack Black, there has never been a far more perfect character voice acting choice than Jack Black playing Bowser. And there's never been a worse character voice acting choice than Seth Rogen playing Donkey Kong. Okay, so with all that out of the way, let me get into my review. This movie upset me. It upset me a great deal because I happen to be someone who has played Mario games. Only because they, for some reason, kept backpedaling on Mario's character, as well as deciding to turn Princess Peach into some weird girl boss personification version of Zelda. I do not know why. Honestly, how she was in a Legend of Zelda movie, yeah, she that would have been okay. But, well, depending on which Zelda that you choose. But for Princess Peach, the gaming's damsel in distress icon, this was retarded. It's something that generally, being a fan who has played the games, this is something that was just really a hurdle that was hard to overcome upon watching this movie. And by having so many moments in which they kind of destroyed Mario's character in order to supplement her character, really made it annoying. As, you know, generally speaking, whenever they do these movies and they try to essentially make a female character seem powerful or strong, or, you know, strong woman or whatever, they have to tear down the man. They can't just have the character have their own merits, weaknesses, or just be a generally interesting character on their own, which Princess Peach has done over the years by being, even though she has been a damsel in distress, still being someone that, you know, likes Mario, gets captured by Bowser constantly, but is still considered a gaming icon to this day. Yet for some reason, rather than utilize and showcasing and highlighting that, they decide to do a complete 180 over her character and make her something that she never has been portrayed in the first place. I'm mentioning this first because of the fact that it was so jarring to me as a fan, and there have been so many people who have had ridiculous takes over this movie. And it's just like, for those who have tried to speak negatively about it, and I just feel bad for someone like me who essentially is like, you know, it's not bad or good, it's just, you know, and it's like, if you happen to like Nintendo, you know, then yeah, it was just yeah, a little bit more. But it was not good in the portrayal of Princess Peach, as well as the certain aspects in which they had Mario. There were multiple times in which Mario became a character, or was a character, that essentially was like, that's Mario. This is what I would expect Mario to say if he had a voice, you know, outside of the wah, woohoo, yippee. Outside of that, and it was like, yeah, this is what I would expect him to say. You had moments in which, like, when he first met Princess Peach and she just kept talking about his height. And then he said, you know, make fun of me all you want. I'm going to go save my brother. Are you going to help me or not? And I was like, now that's Mario. And then he went, please. And I was like, there goes the bitch. Because they just can't have it where he can be a strong, independent character while she's a strong, independent character. You can't have that. She has to be superior to him. And if you notice this stuff in movies, then you would understand small little subtle hints that they give in order to make sure that they knock down his character in order to supplement her character. So you have moments when it was like she's training him, or you had it to where he was able to complete the crazy ass obstacle course in the beginning of the movie going through Brooklyn, while she was able to do an obstacle course and she just flew through it. But when he attempted, he was bad at it. But we've seen his parkour skills early on in the movie. Like I said, a backpedaling of his character in order to facilitate what storyline they wanted to give, but it doesn't make sense within the context of the characters. So you had multiple moments like that throughout the entire movie that really just kind of killed any type of reciprocity that you would get from the general intrigue that comes with the Peach and Mario relationship, because she does like him. He does go out of his way to save her. She is a damsel in distress. There's nothing wrong with showing that and still have her be shown in a positive light, whether it be, you know, highlighting other aspects of her character that we've never got to see before within the games. Her leadership skills, exactly how much the Toadstool Kingdom cares about her, showing how she can rally troops or get people to join her side and things like that, but also showing Mario be that guy, considering that's the whole point of his games. He's that guy. This plumber shows up into this crazy world and he just whoops ass. That's what you do in all of the Mario games. She always gets kidnapped in all of the Mario games. Now, don't think that because of the plot and what they did by having Luigi get kidnapped and then Mario trying to go save him, I was against that. I actually didn't mind. That's not a problem for me, because trying to do this within a movie from, you know, the old game from the original Super Mario Brothers back in the day, and it's like the like having the storyline and the setup be something like that is okay to me, as long as you gave some type of, you know, leeway between the characters of Mario, Luigi, and Peach. And what I mean by that is that you essentially have it to where you understand and build up the relationship between Mario and Luigi, which they sort of did, but it wasn't really that concrete. And then you have it to where Princess Peach needs to rely on this plumber to solve her problems, because that's literally what the Mario games are about. But again, because Peach was this girl boss, I can't lose type of character, you generally had a movie in which she accomplished everything without the necessity of Mario. In fact, Mario could have been removed from this movie and everything would have gone perfect. It's like she would have been able to win despite having Mario, rather than Mario being the key factor to make this movie. You could disagree with me if you want to, but literally think back into the movie. She did what she did to start off everything to get the Kong army. Kong army got captured. Then she went along with what Bowser wanted to marry her. And then despite that, she decided to go against him for her own benefit. Bowser only broke out because Mario came and he was upset. He was already frozen. There was just so many factors that just realistically was like, this movie didn't need Mario in order for it to be a Mario movie. But that really is what kind of holds it back from being its own thing. Illumination has this issue where they like to insult and demean their characters within their movies. They've been doing it since fucking Despicable Me. But since before then, but in Despicable Me is very apparent, like especially when you get to the but actually in all of them really, but they have these characters that they kind of prop up as these certain icons within their own world. Like with Gru, he is someone that is considered a big bad villain. He was a really good villain at that, but for some reason, he had to be considered lesser when connected to Vector. Or you had it to where when the secret agent was able to one up on him on the second movie, and so on and so forth, whatever. So when approaching this movie, when you have the character like Mario, it's okay to put him in silly, wacky situations because he doesn't understand the world. I'm fine with that. But when you demean and insult the character for absolutely no reason other than shits and giggles, because you know, that's kind of like the Three Stooges mindset for kids. Like, ha, 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 he got hurt. Like, ha, ha, ha. You're really just going for the bottom of the barrel in terms of comedy or for entertainment. And it just wasn't that appealing, because in the long run, it kind of didn't make any sense. One case being him going through warp pipes. And when Mario went through warp pipes, he would kind of get slammed against the walls and everything, while the Toadstools were perfect. But they're perfectly fine. And you couldn't help but wonder, it's like, well, if this is what he goes through every time he goes into the warp pipes, why even use them? Why not just jump to get anywhere? But the warp pipes are a main staple within the Mario world. So it doesn't make sense that this is the treatment that he would get upon using the warp pipes, if this is something that he would constantly be using within his world, as it is a main staple within Mario games, period. I can't help but think back to Futurama, where in the very first episode, upon Fry waking up in the future, they had these tubes that went all over New York. And then upon him standing into one, it just zips him through New York and he's screaming because he doesn't understand the technology. He's weirded out and he's not used to what's going on. But upon it doing that, he's screaming and zooming through everywhere, but he like slams against stuff every once in a while, and then upon him exiting, he like goes flying, and then they kind of make fun, and then you have someone make fun of him because he's not used to it, and someone go like Taurus or something like that, I believe. And that made sense. And then later on throughout Futurama, Fry can use the tubes just as well as anyone else. So it wasn't really something that was generally that big of a learning curve, more so something that he just, because he wasn't used to it, it just had that aspect of like, well, you give him time, he's gonna figure it out, because that's just how things are done now. While with Mario, it just seemed as if these tubes are designed for the toadstool, like for the toads, and not him. So that was also off-putting. But then you just generally had it to where there were just too many moments within the movie where they just tried to have Peach be this character that she never was and honestly didn't need to be, in order to just downplay and discriminate against Mario's character. And it was really off-putting upon watching the movie, especially considering the small moments that they did have where they would have conversations. And generally, it kind of opened the door for it to be the relate like a stable relationship between the two characters, considering the fact that they do like each other within the mythos of the games. So why not focus or have that? I mean, hell, there's a wasted scene where they have Peach talk about where she came from and how she was raised. And it's like, who the fuck ever asked for something like this? It doesn't even make any sense, let alone it's something that's like prevalent to the story. She just goes on about how, well, she thinks she's from somewhere else and she's now the princess of this world. It was weird. It was weird because it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. You already are established as Princess Toadstool. You are the princess of this world. Mario is the stranger here. That's all that should matter. But no, we need to have Princess Peach have a backstory thing. It doesn't make any sense. But then you had moments where, like when they were riding on Rainbow Road and Mario was actually excited and having fun. And then she generally was confused at the fact that he was like, you've never been on a rainbow, like there's no rainbow roads in your world. And then they just had a nice little back and forth that kind of gave a nice little highlight and intrigue into their characters. And honestly, it was like, yeah, as for something that's like a small showcase of like a romance being built up. And it was like, yeah, this is exactly what I would want to see between these two characters. And honestly, it was genuine. It was nice. And I really enjoyed it. But those are far and few between, and honestly, that kind of the movie itself doesn't really focus on building up a relationship between the two characters, rather than have too many moments where Peach is just superior to Mario in every way, shape, or form. And it's weird. It's just really weird and off-putting. I mean, you also had Miyamoto come out and say something really stupid, where he was like, "This is the Peach that we always intended to make. This is the strong character that we always wanted." And it's like, that's an utterly huge dog face lie. And I'm going to say this to any detractor who might claim otherwise, because you have the creator actually saying this. Mario has existed since before I was fucking born, right? And it's like, it's old. It's a very old game. Mario has had more games than you could possibly imagine. I mean, I'm pretty sure you could try playing every single one of them right now, and you probably won't even get a third of them finished before you die, because they're still going to keep making them also. But the simple fact is, they've had ample moments to create or put Princess Peach in the role of which they claim she was always meant to be. And they never have. Every single game, she's always kidnapped. Every single game, she's the damsel in distress. Every single game, there's some shit Mario has to figure out because, you know, Bowser's causing problems and he's the titular character. They've never made a Princess Peach video game, and they won't, because Princess Peach is not the appeal of the video games. Playing the hero that is Mario is the appeal. So to make that claim and that statement is a bold-faced and utter fucking lie. He's promoting the movie. They're trying to get money. Of course, they want to make sure that people understand that there's going to be a huge difference and upset between the characters within the movies and the characters that they have portrayed in the games. It's a goddamn Japanese company, for God's sake. They would never make a female character that strong-willed above a male character that they've had for decades being the titular main character after all this time. Don't get your panties in a twist. It's impossible to think otherwise. There is no way that that is what they wanted as a Princess Peach character within the game. I dare you to think that if Nintendo dropped a Princess Peach starring role game right now, that a bunch of people would go play it, that it would make a whole lot of money. I dare you to think that that would be something that would happen. And if you think, oh, that seems interesting, I'd play the game. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Lord knows you wouldn't. And it's like, it's a sweet idea for sure, but it's like that's not what it is. And the thing is that my true criticism with that is the fact that it's like it doesn't her being a damsel in distress is not a bad thing, nor is it a negative thing towards her character. Princess Peach is in she's a main character in the Super Smash Brothers fighting game. That's a fighting game. She's in the Olympics games, the Mario Kart games. It's like she has shown that she's a strong female multiple times. So why not highlight those other moments as well as things that her character is known for, or just keep constantly showcasing? It's like, yeah, she might have everything going for her, but she doesn't have it all together. The fact that this character had absolutely no weaknesses or no downfalls within this movie was really a turnoff for me. It was just something I was like, this is bad character design, because you're doing with a lot of other concepts and movies have done to basically do a horrible portrayal of like character assassination. And it's just like I'm focusing on it so much because of the fact that it was so jarring for me upon seeing the movie. But again, I have to say that the movie isn't terrible because of this, but it is something to where it was like upon seeing this bastardization of Princess Peach, it was just hard to really get into the spirit of the movie, because every time Mario tried to have some type of moment of a positive aspect happen, well, you had Princess Peach outshining him and shutting down. What happened? Hell, they have a blue turtle shell attack them when they're doing the Mario Kart thing, and everyone knows what the blue turtle shells do. They go after who's ever first, and it's a sure hit for whoever's first. But the movie was so goddamn stupid that it had Princess Peach and Toad in first place while Mario and Donkey Kong were actually behind them, and then the blue turtle shell hit them instead. It didn't make any sense. But it's like the nostalgia factor of the blue turtle shell is just like, oh, we see the blue turtle shell. Hell, I had a friend talk about that. He was like, you saw the blue turtle shell part? I was like, yeah, but Peach and Toad were in front. And he was like, well, oh yeah, they weren't. I was like, yeah, you see how that happens? I was like, you're so caught up in nostalgia that you're not paying attention to the movie. And that really is what ruins a bunch of movies from being actually worthwhile to go see. But I digress. Now, when you get into the overall story of the game, like the overall story of the movie, like I said, it's really bare bones and kid-friendly movie. They do exactly what they say they're going to do, and it's whatever. The offset or the off-putting factor of this is that essentially they kind of add things to Mario and like Peach also, like when they gave her a backstory and everything. They add things to these characters that no one has ever asked for, and it does absolutely nothing for the movie. They actually show Mario's family, and this was also very off-putting, because there was always this backlash of exactly if Chris Pratt was going to do his Italian accent or whatnot. And then in the beginning of the movie, he actually speaks with an accent, him and Luigi, upon doing a commercial. And then it come to find out that they don't actually speak that way. They just was hyping up their accent for the commercial for some reason. I don't understand why. Who thinks that just because you're more Italian that you would make a better plumber? And they never explained that. And they just said, you think the accent was too much? And it was like, ah, oh, no. And then that was a nice little cameo for the original voice of all the Mario characters, Mario, Waluigi, Luigi, and Wario. And then he just like had his own little cameo. He was like, no, it's a good. And then he was just like, woohoo! And it was like, that's a nice little cameo. But realistically, upon watching the movie, I didn't mind Chris Pratt and Charlie Day's accent. It wasn't bad. And for a lot of people, they think that if you were to hear that for the entire movie, it would get upsetting. But not really, considering the fact that upon playing the Mario games, you're playing those for hours on end and you hear his voice be that way. Yeah, he's not constantly talking, but you're hearing his voice do multiple things and you're fine. So if he was to speak with an accent, considering that this character is fucking Italian, that would have been fine. But him talking normal was also fine. So it was like, yeah, whatever on that aspect. But then what's upsetting is that they made a point to basically try to get rid of the whole him speaking with an Italian accent. And then Luigi and Mario goes home to a family that is a stereotypical Italian family. And while watching the movie, I just had to shake my head and go, how fucking backwards could you possibly be to do something this stupid? Like you don't want to sit there and make go towards the stereotype of his Italian accent or upset people who might have an issue with Chris Pratt doing that or Charlie Day doing that, which, you know, those people are crazy. I've already talked about that before because I already knew, like, you know, it was, this movie was going to get review bombed. That was for sure going to happen. But by having the little stereotype Italian family, it was just weird. Like, that was just very weird. And I hate to say it, but you should have taken a page from the live action Mario movie, which Lord knows that's a terrible movie. But by having that movie to where there were these struggling plumbers who lived together and they were just brothers, it was fine. You didn't need anything else. You didn't need to see where your mom came from. You didn't need to see them have a dad. You didn't literally have the same issue that essentially was showcased within the Shazam 2 movie, where you instigated and started a problem, but then you waited until the very end of the movie to try and resolve it. And one of those things is that they had Mario dad basically kind of talk down to them for starting their own business, but then it just doesn't get resolved until the end where the dad is just like, I'm proud of you. But there was no reciprocity behind there, so it didn't really make any sense. And it was like a confidence boost that Mario never needed, because his character was just full of confidence throughout the entire movie. But you just had moments where they tried to knock him down a peg for some reason, only for then for him to just kind of get over it on his own. And then you tried to end the movie by showcasing that it was like, well, he still needed this little pep, give him a little pep, but it didn't matter. The movie was over with. So it was very weird. It seemed as if the stuff that Mario went through in terms of character growth and dynamic and stuff like that would have been better suited for Luigi's character, especially if they was going to go with the route of him being cowardly like they do in Luigi's Mansion, rather than him just being, you know, the guy who follows Mario all around all the time, which is fine. It's fine, you know, it's fine. But that seemed as if it was far more appropriate for his character than it would have been for Mario's character, especially considering that you had multiple moments where Mario, just despite what everyone and anyone said, he had nothing but confidence in himself. And not only that, but he had confidence in Luigi. And so then the movie itself, since it had it to where his main goal and dynamic was to find Luigi, then the movie itself should have focused more on his aspirations of, he believes he can do anything as long as Luigi's with him, or that Luigi gets really scared whenever he's not with Mario. Those things would have worked in tandem, and it actually would have been better, especially having Mario constantly tell Luigi, whenever we're together, there's nothing we can't do. So then just have it to where it's like them being separate kind of has them have a weakness factor, but them together, they're unbeatable. And the movie itself should have highlighted this, and it would have been just a stronger movie all the in general. But having it to where you just had multiple moments where in itself, in order to try and cause conflict with Mario, even talking to Luigi, where the dad was like, you're holding your brother down by like chasing these crazy dreams. And it's like, in the beginning of the movie, they just made their own business and they just left someone else's company to be plumbers on their own because they feel that they could do it on their own. But it was like they just started, and yet everyone was completely dismissing and talking down to them. Also not making any sense considering the fact that they prove in the beginning they got skills to be really good plumbers. It's just a goofy incident happened with a dog, which was honestly very funny. But a goofy incident happened with a dog, but it doesn't dismiss the idea of the fact that, yeah, they're actually good plumbers. So those things really didn't make any sense, you know? And it was like, so they were going out in their own business to do the plumbing job, which honestly is just like in the beginning of the live action Mario movie, because it also makes sense. Honestly, the whole going into the sewer thing and did like it almost exactly the same. Almost exactly the same. It's the perfect startup for the Mario movie. They went in the sewer and then they found a tunnel to take them to the Mushroom Kingdom. It happened just like in the live action movie. Jesus Christ. And just like, but instead you decided to focus on and have weird aspects of the characters that kind of just didn't really fit, because it's never been anything that anyone who's ever played a Mario game has asked for. It's a perfect equivalent is when they would show Peter Parker's parents in the Clone Saga of the Spider-Man comic books, and literally everyone and anyone who happens to be a Spider-Man fan just kept telling Marvel, this is stupid, you're stupid, this is very dumb. Not only that, but then they made it to where they were spies, then they were double spies, double agents, then turned out they were triple agents, and no one cared. And ever since then, they have tried to stay away from showcasing or highlighting or talking about Peter Parker's parents. And every time that they do, it has ruined the credibility of Spider-Man. Case in point, the Amazing Spider-Man movies. How stupid is that? Those movies are incredibly dumb. But the director was like, I want to talk about his dad. Stupid. So stupid. His father figure is Uncle Ben. Leave it alone. Dummy. But it's the same notion. You don't need this character's parents in order to justify the character's actions. Just give strong credibility to Mario being the type of person who helps people despite anything and everything. You easily could have set up the first little plumbing job that they got. They tackled it the way they tackled it, but Mario didn't give up while Luigi felt self-conscious about it. They go home. Then you have the big incident that happens with a weird cameo by the mayor from the Chicken Odyssey for some reason. I don't know. Also, they kept highlighting Brooklyn. I don't know if that's because someone watched the Into the Spider-Verse too much or they played the Miles Morales video game. But highlighting and showcasing Brooklyn as if it's this grandiose place is really, really weird. You had that, and then essentially you have Mario go, hey, we can go stop that leak that's happening that's like kind of messing up with the city. And honestly, that was a nice little intrigue into into them getting stuck into the Mushroom Kingdom and whatnot. But it's just like all you needed was to have Mario say, we do this, and then everyone will know about us, and then we get better publicity so we can get more jobs where we can do the plumbing stuff. You kind of just had a throwaway line to say there rather than, him just being like, I want to just go there to help, and, you know, and it'd be like, or it'd be good publicity and stuff like that. Yeah, any of those throwaway lines would have been better to basically give you more insight to a Mario character of someone who essentially is selfless. You know, if it was it probably would have been better if it was like, you know, he was like, those people need help. They don't know what they're doing. And then he was like rushing down and he was like, come on, Luigi, let's go. And then Luigi probably said something. It was like, you know, if we do this, we probably get more publicity. And then, like, Mario was like, huh, I didn't even think about that. You know, it's just more so he's just rushing off to go help because people are in need. These things would work for these characters. But these people who write for these characters do not know these characters. So that was just something that was incredibly off-putting with it. Those are just multiple things that's really off-putting with the movie. Now, the nostalgia bait. There is nothing but nostalgia bait throughout this entire fucking movie, and it is glorious. It is fantastic. Luigi's ringtone is the GameCube startup sound, and if you know anything of what I just said, then you will enjoy the multitude of nostalgia stuff that they have within this movie. Now, much like No Way Home, you can get so bogged down by the nostalgia factor and the jokes that you will not notice the shit storm of a movie. but the craptastic movie that has inconsistencies between character, writing, and dynamics. Yeah. But other than that, you would be fine. But there's just a multitude of different things in there that was just kind of just weird, off-putting, and whatnot. Now, as far as going into the voice acting, Princess Peach was kind of weird because Princess Peach has a very high-pitched voice. It's almost like a squeak of a mouse. And in the games, they've always showed her like that. And honestly, I felt that would have been interesting to have someone with a higher-pitched voice speak rather than, you know, this toned-down boss girl voice that they gave her, which kind of just didn't really fit right with her design and then as well as the character's dynamic. You know, it just didn't fit well. It wasn't quite right, Curl Luther Vandross, if you know what I mean. But Chris Pratt as Mario was fine. It's not too jarring or too bad or whatever, but it was fine. Charlie Day is Luigi. Sad to say, there wasn't enough of Luigi within this movie to give like a real good, accurate, okay interpretation of him doing voice acting for him. But for what they did have, it was fine. But you. Upon watching the movie, you would wish that he did more. It really felt as if this movie would have had more going for it if you had more Luigi in it. And honestly, I believe that they definitely could have played off Luigi's character being added on more with his interactions with Bowser. You could have had it to where Bowser took out his frustration over trying to stop Mario on Luigi, whom would constantly build up a rapport in terms of basically getting Bowser far more upset about Mario because Mario keeps thwarting all of his plans while Luigi is there to hype up Mario, and it just pisses off Bowser, who's trying to get Peach, and then he sees that Mario is getting closer to Peach, and it just would have been a nice little subversion, because you would have shown the villainy of Bowser being played through Luigi rather than Mario having to deal with the evil of Bowser. But that would have taken some clever writing, and as I pointed out, this movie had no such thing. But that was really a bad point, because it was like Charlie Day, how he was with Luigi, especially how Luigi was being cowardly. It was perfect. Like he sounded fine, but it's like you just wish that he did more. And it was like, man, he's barely in this movie. And it's just really disappointing. Hell, even times when they showed people in the little cells where Luigi was captured, a majority of that screen time went towards the star that was incredibly depressing and really hilarious. But you just like you feel by the end of this movie, especially with how much Mario talks about how when they're together they can do anything and all that stuff, and it's like, yeah, Luigi should have had more screen time. There should have been more moments with Luigi, and then it's sad that they didn't have that. Now getting into the worst of the worst, Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong's terrible. Donkey Kong himself was funny, but being a Nintendo fan, not even a Nintendo fan, being someone who knows about these characters, Donkey Kong don't talk. So having him speak, weird. Honestly, it seems as if the movie could have really gained a lot by having him not speak. You could have had a Vin Diesel situation with Seth Rogen where essentially he does not talk, but you know, he makes the monkey noises. Like how funny would that have been, where you just, you know that Seth Rogen, but all Donkey Kong does is just like kind of say monkey noises. And then there's one part in the movie with Donkey Kong that's actually generally, well, not one part, it's two. But there's one part that's generally funny, and it's when like Mario pulls up his cart next to Donkey Kong's cart, and Donkey Kong just looks at him and goes, "I hate you." And that's like, that's it. And then Mario just has the like the biggest shocked face ever. And I couldn't help but wonder, I was like, if Donkey Kong didn't speak the entire time and then he said that, that just would have been hilarious. And then you have Mario try to confirmed that like he's just said something to me, and then everyone else like, well, Donkey Kong doesn't talk, so that's impossible. And or you could have had it to where like, you know, Donkey Kong only spoke in front of Mario or something like that. But it was just like Seth Rogen was a bad choice to be Donkey Kong, because it did not fit. He did the goofy fucking laugh and everything. it did not fit. I do not know why people keep sticking him in shit, but he is bad at voice acting. And it's like, I get Kung Fu Panda, but it's like that really, you just basically made the Mantis him. So, you know, it's whatever. But other than that, every other character he's ever done in terms of voice acting has been exactly the fucking same. So you have to draw the line that there's a huge difference between acting and voice acting. So you have to understand that factoid where it's like, yeah, he's not a voice actor. He's an actor. And even then, he can only play himself. So you kind of got to stop thinking that he has a range. He does not. Now, on the flip side of that, you have Jack Black. Jack Black was fan-fucking-tastic. Jack Black was phenomenal in this movie. He was the perfect voice for Bowser. Honestly, I thought it wasn't really going to work that well, especially upon seeing like the trailer and what they had. But watching the movie, oh my goodness, it was beautiful. Having the offset of where he's not just out to destroy everything, but instead his main goal is to marry Princess Peach and then rule everything with her, just made the movie beautiful. And then you just had so many moments where upon them giving reports of what Princess Peach is doing, he was far more focused on her relationship with Mario than the progression of a force being brought up to try and stop him. And that was just so good. It was so good. Cause it's like, this is hilarious. This is funny as hell. Even to the point where upon him revealing his plan, you kind of had his army just confused. And it's like, yeah, she doesn't like you, dude. Then he's just so delusional to where it's like, well, if she doesn't like me, I'm going to destroy everything. He's like, so we're going to get married. And I was like, yeah. it's just hilarious. And it led to what I consider like just a banger of a song. It's just called Peaches. And man, did it take the internet by storm. But that song is so good. It's stupidly good. I'll never forget being in the theaters and then kind of having like a slap moment because it's like, oh my God, Jack Black can sing. And it's like, the fuck? Of course he can sing. How many movies, how many times have I heard Jack Black sing? Jack Black is in the Metalocalypse Doomstar movie. He plays their old manager for a short little part at the near the end of that movie. You got, what's the name of his band? Oh my goodness, how am I going to forget? I have Tribute. The Pick of Destiny is a hilarious movie. It is like, there's so many moments when it's like, upon me saying that to myself, I was like, I didn't know Jack Black could sing. And I was like, wait a minute. Yes, I did. Tenacious D. That's the name of the band. Yeah, it's like him being in Tenacious D and everything. And it's like, wait a minute. I have a bunch of their songs and whatnot. He was in School of Rock where he sung. There's been so many things Jack Black has done where he has sung. And if for some reason, I was like, my brain just went, he just happened to just, and I was like, huh. I know he could sing, and it was like, and the song is amazing. I was like, man, it's like he's been singing for years or something. Oh boy. But it's like, yeah, that's just them, that song is just precious and it's hilarious. But you have he was very welcomed, and they did very well with his character. Like, honestly, Bowser was held in the highest regard in this movie, and it's just fantastic. The only problem is with the whack writing in this movie, that he's had the super power-up star for the longest and he never used it, and it made no sense why. Even when he was down and out, he still could have used it and would have been fine, and he never used it. It was weird. It was very, very weird. Also, what's even weirder is that they had a multitude of actual voice acting talents, like people who are good at voice acting in this movie, and they filled the main roster with a bunch of movie stars, and I wish they wouldn't have did that. It's sad they keep doing stuff like that now, because, you know, Disney kind of set the stage. Disney and DreamWorks really went upon Shrek setting the stage with that, but, well, Ants, I said Shrek, Ants did that. But, you know, voice acting, just, it's okay to go for talent. The movie star era is over with. So just doing regular voice acting, you'd be fine. You'd do so well. Oh, my goodness. You'd be shiny if you just accepted that there are just some things that are like, acting and voice acting are two totally different things. I get this as a famous actor, but generally speaking, when it comes to animated movies that are like in the realm of like children can, like, mainly are supposed to go see it, they don't care. And it's like, and if you think the older people are going to see it because of their voice acting talents, they also don't care. Especially a movie like this that just is nostalgia baiting based off of something else. As long as you bring the best of the best forward, you'll be fine. You will be fine. But I wish they would have done something, because I think I forgot about Keegan-Michael Key as Toad. He was also bad. So it was like, it's realistically, in terms of like the voices you would have, Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong is the worst. Keegan-Michael Key as Toad was just bad. The girl who played Princess Peach just didn't fit. And then after that, I guess you would have Chris Pratt. Then it'd be Charlie Day as Luigi, and then Jack Black as Bowser. And that would be the ranking system that you would use in terms of like who were good and who was bad, really, for me. But it just, like I said, it has moments that are very much funny, very much entertaining. It's not boring by all means. The movie itself is only like 1:30. So it runs fairly fast, but there's just one scene that I always felt was just so eh. It is a montage in which they're traveling to the Kong, to the land of the Kongs with Peach, Toad, and Mario. And like, really, that was like the only part that was like, eh, aside from Peach talking about her backstory, of course. But aside from that, everything else was like, oh yeah, this is very well put together. I just wish it had a stronger script. Like I said, it's much like with the No Way Home and everything. That nostalgia bait shit can only really get you so far, but a lot of stupid people really fall for it. And so it was like, whatever with that. But in terms of your script actually being something that just makes you stand out as a movie, you really shouldn't heavily revolve around that nostalgia baiting. But you have people who, again, got blinders on, so that's all that they focus on, that's all that they care about. And much like the why, you know, No Way Home is considered like so good, but it's like, yeah, it's only because Toby and Andrew show up. But other than that, the movie is flawed beyond all reason and logic. But hey, nostalgia bait. But it's just like, I wish it could have been better. I wish it generally could have been better, and then it probably would have been the greatest video game adaptation movie ever. But as far like in terms of standards for me, the Sonic movie is better, and the Sonic movie has a plethora of flaws in it. But to me, the first one, just the first one, the second one's terrible. But the first Sonic movie, like, yeah, that's a much better video game movie than this movie. And if you're sitting there complaining, like, no, we didn't know it, it was like, again, I'm not talking about nostalgia. I'm just talking about an actual overall concept of a movie. The Sonic one, much better. And it's like in the small little nods to nostalgia that they did do within the first Sonic movie. Yeah. Greatly, far greater appreciated than what they did in the Mario movie, where it wasn't just plastered all over the place in order for you to feel the nostalgia. Hell, DK running out, and they played the DK rap from Nintendo 64. Like I said, Luigi's phone ringtone is the GameCube. Like the restaurant Mario was in was Punch Out. There's just like he was playing Kid Icarus when he went into his room and he was sulking. There was just so much, so much, where it's fan service, nostalgia, and all that. While in Sonic, you know, you had the subtle part of where the one time he was hit, he dropped all his rings. Hilarious. You just had the multiple times of him using his speed and being real fast and stuff like that. Jim Carrey as Robotnik was freaking perfect, even though he didn't look like how Dr. Robotnik is supposed to be as Eggman. There was stuff done in that movie that was just too right for me to say that the Super Mario Brother movie would be superior. While there's just too much in that movie that's just done wrong. So that's my assessment for that. So that would be my overall take on this movie. Like I said, it's okay. By all means, if you have children, go see it. If you happen to be a Nintendo fan, go see it. If you know who Mario is, go see it. There's nothing wrong with that. This movie, Making Bunny, is, to me, you know, it's a double-edged sword. But for the most part, like I said, it doing as well as it did is it's a nice blow to the people who just generally wanted it to fail. Simply because Chris Pratt, which again, that's disgusting. That's disgusting upon all ventures and whatever. And, I'm starting to notice that Chris Pratt happens to be in movies that make money, but happen to be really shitty scripts. Because he keep doing the Jurassic World movies, and they'll suck. But, you know, he's fine in those movies. It's just everything else is terrible. But it's like the same thing with this. It's like, God damn it. Like, get a stronger script. Damn it. But he's an all right guy. He's a bit of all right. He's good. He's fine. He switched on. He's a bit of all right. But yeah, I really wish there would have been a much stronger story. I really wish it would have kept in the spirit of what made Mario and Super Mario great. And I generally wish that it was something that was like I can look on. It was like, yeah, growing up with these characters for all these years, finally get to see them portrayed in a way that'd be fitting of them, you know, it's still something I have to hold out for, because so far no video game movie has ever done it correctly. And that's a damn shame, especially when so much work was put into this and clearly people who cared about the Nintendo brand had a part in it. But it just, I wish that, you know, someone who was better at writing a goddamn script was behind it. And that's really it. So with that, I'm gonna end it here. Been another episode of Fun with Flame. I've been your Daniel Flame. As always, good people. I hope you had fun. Oh, peaches, 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 peaches.